What's new for the band since Barry's job?
Oh, that's a big question. Since Barry's job, we played about, I think, 200 shows or something. We re-recorded Ecliptica, our first album, like more of a tribute as opposed to trying to...
For the Barry's Child tour, did you discover a new place you never played before?
Oh, I have to think about that. I think there might be some kind... Yes, we did. Now I remember. Yeah, we played in Bolivia, in South America, okay. Where we've never been before, for example. And that was really interesting because it's the airport is at 4,200 meters. Then the show was really low, 500 meters less, so it was like 3.5 kilometers, and that was one of the weirdest experiences I ever had.
Because, so physically speaking, it's
it was really weird because you walk out of the airplane and all of a sudden you feel a bit drunk, like without drinking, and then you start to feel bad and the headache and everything, and that was something really really different. And afterwards. I'm happy that we did it, but it was not really the most comfortable environment to be, you know.
Usually when you're used to that, you come days before, exactly. For your body to settle, and then you can...
You can do that, or you can do what we did, because we were in the middle of a tour, so we didn't have time to do that. So we came late in the evening, played the next day, and just went to the hotel for a few hours, and then left really early in the middle of the night.
So the solution is to drink even more.
I didn't dare to drink there. I stopped drinking a few days before, and I didn't drink anything there. And then immediately when I got off there, then I had to have a drink. Of course, we drink a lot of coca tea that they make up of the coke leaves, and that's helped a little bit. And then. But it was, it's definitely something that I will never forget, you know.
If I read well, you also had a North American tour.
Yeah.
And it seems that especially, I think you reached some of your goals in the US where you really reached the public at the level you wanted, maybe finally.
To some extent, yes, but there's always bigger venues and always, more to do. So, but the thing is... I think for us as a band, the main point is to make music that's interesting for us, hope that people like it, and then go and play shows, and as long as people show up and happy, of course, more is more, but we don't have a definite set goal, you know, like if we get that many people then we're happy or something, we just see how far we can take this thing.
Okay. Once again, if we go back to this Barry's Child period, what would immediately pop in your mind, an event or anything that for you would synthesize or summarize this period? Is there one key event for you that...
It's really hard to summarize it in one thing, but I think the essential starting point was Marco left the band after the Stones Cold Hernandez tour, and 2 weeks later we were rehearsing for Paradise Child, and I think then when we went into our current bass player Pasi's studio, we went there with the songs and started to record, and that was the defining moment of about, for a few months. And then, of course, when you go out on the road, it's we've been touring for 15 years, so.
And that's the key test to see if the new member will be
That is. But of course, I have been, actually my first band, Silent Voices, where I started when I was a kid, that was with Patsy when we were like 16 or 17. So I know him like forever, and he mixed the first Sonata DVD, and everybody knew him a little bit from before, so there was not really any thoughts that it might not work.
It seems you keep the pace of releasing a new album each 2-3 years.
Yep.
Is that you feel the natural rhythm of the band?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Yeah, it's not something... For example, with this album, we were really late with the songwriting from Tony, so we were in the studio, we had a couple of songs, we started to work on them, and Tony was still home writing songs and sending them to us. So it's not... I wouldn't say it's his natural rhythm. He needs a deadline, and then shit will happen, and if he doesn't have a deadline, nothing will happen. So I think, it usually takes about 2 years to tour all the places and go around, and then for example, with Paris Child and Critica re-release, we did about 200 shows, at that point you start to feel, okay, we need something new. We need some new music to play. And
you need something new, or you're exhausted and you need nothing for us?
Actually, last fall we took the first break since the beginning of the band. So we had 4 months off, not doing anything with Sonata. Of course, I had to do 2 or 3 other albums and guest star things and play some shows and whatnot. But yeah, it's not exhaustion. I think it's just like at that point, like about 2 years, then you get to the point where you want some new music and something new to perform, and you need to redo your set list and stuff. It somehow feels natural to break it up and start again.
Okay. I have the cliche, maybe it's wrong, that when you band,
yeah,
you will start a new the work on a new album. They kind of gather together, they brainstorm, and they decide what they want to go, what they want to do. Does it work like that, or how does it work for Sonata?
It's been different with every album. This time we didn't have any time to brainstorm because there was nothing to brainstorm about. But for example, with Paradise Child, I look at the calendar, I see, okay, the rehearsals are coming up with the new songs, so we haven't heard anything, and I kept calling Tommy, and then just finally I just called him and said, okay, me and Tommy, our drummer, we're going to come over to your house next week, and you're going to play some music, because we want to know what's going on. So we went there, and he had a lot of music, like a lot. So we were sitting there the whole night, listening to music, and then he said, okay, there was a couple of songs that he said, I definitely want these on the album, and we're okay. Listen to the rest stuff, and he was like, yeah, I don't know, what do you guys feel? And so me and Tommy were like, okay, that is really good, we like that, and yeah, that's maybe not working. And so we picked up like the bulk of the songs, and then he asked, okay, we need some more music, what style could it be? And we talked about it, okay, maybe, you know, we need some more fast songs or whatever. And that was that. And this time it was, we took whatever came out and just try to make it up as we go along.
Usually for an album like the new one, how many songs do you record, or do you only record what is on the
album? We only recorded what is on the album, and one bonus track for Japan, and then a cover song.
So you don't like record 20 and then you choose?
No, the
section is done before?
Yeah, and also, like, even if we have more songs, then we decide which ones we're going to work on and work on that, and the rest will come back later or fade away or whatever. Yeah, okay. We only record stuff that we need.
Okay. In terms of song contribution,
yeah.
Did you contribute to some, or it's only to Antonis?
On the arrangements, some stuff here and there, but songwriting-wise, it's all good, yeah.
Right. You're a creative artist, one way or the other, even if you know how it works within the is not frustrating, or can you express this, your creativity, other projects, or?
That's what I have to do, yeah. I made a solo album a few years ago, I made a new one now when we had the break, which is going to be out in a few months. I have
other
bands.
Do you know which label?
No, I don't know yet. I have a few contracts on the table. I need to read them through and decide which way I'm going to go.
Instrumental?
Actually, I'm singing. So
you're the one already.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But yeah, of course, as a musician, I feel the need to write songs as well. And I did one song for one bonus track for Sonata in 2009 or something, on the Desert Grace album. But the thing is, the way Tony approaches songwriting is something so different from what the rest of us do that it's impossible to make it fit. So this is the way like we do it in Sonata. Of course, I have to write stuff. I need to make music. That's in my DNA. So I do it in other outlets, and it's not for me. You know, I don't find it frustrating because. I realized when I joined the band that this is how it's going to be, and it's fine, I'm the keyboard player, and that's it.
And if we go especially to the keyboard part, where you were obviously involved, it used to be at the beginning that Tony was playing everything, and at some point he had also to make a choice because he couldn't manage that on stage.
Yeah.
So once again there, when you go in his place and see the songs, it's that, what's your involvement? Is it seeing you, that's the melody, that's the sad keyboard sound, do it?
It's for example, with this album, we got the demos and there's some keyboards there, so I open the tracks, I see what has he done. on some of the stuff I see, okay, this is a certain melody should be there. Some stuff I see, well, this sounds like he doesn't have a clue or something. And then with this album I re-recorded everything. So some stuff I played as on the demo, some I changed. And some stuff I just scratched and started from zero and build it up. And then when I was done, I would sit down and listen to it, and then he's like, ah, that's good, yeah, that's great. Ah, that's not what I had in mind, we have to change that and go through it, you know, back and forth. So it's on some albums we have used also, like, some of the keyboards from the demo tracks that he makes. It's like, well, the sound is right and the playing is right, so why should I play it again, you know? So it depends on the song.
But I suppose, I don't want to say anything wrong about Tony, but you're a better skilled keyboard player than him. Are you not sometimes wanted to kind of rise up or skilled up the things, like a faster solos or anything?
Yeah, sometimes I do that, but also the solos, he never was in solos, that's all me.
Okay. You know, it's so you say that between 3:30 and 3:50, whatever.
Exactly. And then it's usually we see how many solo spaces there are in the songs, and then me and Elias talk out. Okay, I want to do solo that song, and you can do that, and divide them up.
Is that the band between guitar and keyboard?
On this album in the song "Rise the Night," there's like dual thing. I don't know if you heard the album, but we do the dual thing, and then at the end we play together. And that was something like we were listening to the background. Tony said, "Okay, here's a long solo part," and we were listening to that, to the background. Me and Elias, and we were like, "How should we divide it?" One time at the evening in the studio, while we were drinking, of course, then I realized I just understood. Okay, this is how we have to do it. And then I told Elias, "Okay, this is what I think we should do. I'll play here, you play there, I'll play there, and then we play this at the end." And I wrote the melody at the end. And Elias was like, I understand, let's do it that way. So sometimes when we do only solo stuff, sometimes Elias writes it, sometimes I do, but this time it was me.
Are you the kind of geeky keyboard player? You get like gigabytes and gigabytes and sound, and you like to try new ones?
No, not only it's like this, but I'm not.
You have like a library of a few sounds you like, and you could use it.
I think you know the way Tony works. He plays something first as a MIDI track, and then starts to fiddle with the sounds. Me, I like to be in the headspace that I listen to something, and then I go, okay, this is what I want to do. So I pick the right sound and play it, and that's it. I
don't intellectualize it before.
Yeah.
Where it's more try yes no.
Okay. For me, it's more important. I mean, if I don't know exactly what I'm going for, then I don't want to play. You know, I wanna have a vision what I'm trying to do, and then I want to do that and not leave too many doors open for different things.
Okay.
Of course, there's a bulk of sounds like traditional sounds, the sounds with the harpsichord, with the strings and stuff like that I use. But then on every album there's some new stuff that we bring in. But I prefer real synthesizers as opposed to. So I have some software synths, but it's not really my thing.
Okay.
I'm too old school and stubborn.
Anything special for the recording session for this album compared to the others?
Yeah, well, like we talked earlier, I mean, the special thing was that Tony wasn't there until we had like the bulk of the album recorded. Then he came down to the studio and went through the songs and talked about it. But yeah, it was really different from before.
Once again, you manage yourself the production.
Yeah.
With Pasi mixing it.
Yeah.
Don't you think, or maybe it was in the past and now you want full control, you think one way or the other, an external point of view could have added value?
Yes, definitely. Think.
Well, Tony is too much freak to...
that might have some point as well, but the thing is, I've been trying to talk to the guys about using a producer for years now, and we're finally at the point where everybody's kind of accepted the idea. But of course, with this situation that we don't have any songs and we are already in the studio, we didn't have time to do it. But I'm personally, I'm pushing for that, and Tony actually said it also now that he realized that it could be useful to have a producer or somebody out from the outside, like an extra pair of ears, because when we fiddle among ourselves, you know, you lose it, you get crazy and whatnot. So let's see what the future brings, but I hope that at some point that we get the chance to work with some, with somebody to.
And let's imagine. I'm a genius and I can make you any wish you want.
Yeah.
Which producer would you kind of dream to work with?
If I could choose. I don't know. Maybe Kevin Shirley could understand the band. I don't know. It's really really hard to say. But definitely, I mean, we would need to find a guy who understands the band and makes it better as opposed to changing everything.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, Kevin Shirley. Might be, of course, but I don't know if he would get it or not.
Is Tony managing the cover picture?
Yeah, usually.
How does it work? Still work with Toxic Angel?
Yes, yeah. Because with this album, Tony had an idea and he drew it on paper and it's like, he can't draw, like I can't draw. So he draw like just like a stick figure kind of thing. And send it to Toxic and explain this is what I had in mind, and then Toxic Angel does it, and then it's like, yes, that's even better what I had in mind. But it was like the idea, the concept of the color was from Tony. Yeah.
And was it important to have again this figure of the wolf?
Yeah, I think so. There's one album that there's no wolf on,
yeah.
and that was a mistake. So leaving it out, it's
kind of, it's a kind of the gimmick of the band.
Yeah. It's our Eddie.
Yeah, you know, it's our Eddie. Yeah.
And that's
the thing. I don't know which member of the band will have to dress like a wolf.
I hope it's not me. It's become that way. But on, I think on Stone's Core, her name, there was no song about wolves and no wolves in the cover, and that we just realized that afterwards, and then we were like, oh fuck, you know. But on every other album, there's at least one song about a wolf, and usually in the imaginary and everything.
Okay. Will you or do you already shoot video clips for the new record?
Yes, we did shoot a video clip that is coming out next week for the song Life.
Okay.
And
so the first single is not the song Animal.
Yeah, that's the first single. Yeah, okay. But we shot for the second single. We shot.
So for the first. So for the first single, no video clips.
There's a lyric video. But no real video clip.
Okay.
No.
So it's done already.
Yeah.
So it's released next week, but done already.
It's in the making, but we did shoot the our parts and everything, and our director is working on it now. And
Finland,
yeah. I hope he makes it in time. Let's see.
Can you tell us more of what kind of, without saying too much, what kind of pitch is that?
Yeah, it's going to be, I mean, at least the parts that we shot, it's going to be a lot of nature. We went out into a place in southern Finland with a beautiful lake and stuff like that. It's gonna be that, and then there's some scenery that was shot in Iceland without the band, and there's gonna be some story concept behind that as well. But it's gonna be like it's gonna be a lot of nature, Finnish nature in there.
All right. I don't know if you share the same opinion as me, but I have the feeling that. The kind of the band kind of little slowed the music.
Yeah.
I have the feeling that you have no more songs like, you know, The Wolf and the Raven.
Yeah.
Where it goes, you know, it starts and it goes. It's on purpose, it just happened like that. Or how do you.
Well, it's, I mean, the thing is, we are not young and angry anymore. Yeah, but it's, I think it's been a natural evolution of the band, and still. It's not something that we decided to do, it just happened. And still, of course, when we play shows, it's really fun to play all the fast stuff, the more like punk rock, or hit it. But for some reason, Tony's songwriting these days, there hasn't been too many fast songs. And it's just a natural evolution, and some people like it and some people don't, so.
My question might be stupid, but
yeah.
No problem. For example, a song like Wolf and the Raven, is that a challenging song from you to play or never?
That is slow.
It's really fast, you have to be really parallel with the guitar player.
Yeah, in that way, of course, it's a bit challenging, but there is, on the new songs, for example, you make a difficult solo for yourself, and then that's challenging. So for me to play fast is not a problem. And it's Wolves of Raven or San Sebastian or stuff like that. It's you just practice a little bit and then it works. And
so if you think of the way you play that kind of old song, like San Sebastian, when you enter the band and now, you change something?
Well, I think, of course, because I've changed keyboards during the years, so the sound changed a little bit. But basically, you know, when you play like the San Sebastian Unisono, for example, it's written in a certain way, and that's the way it goes. And it will be like that to the end of time. So in that way, it doesn't change that much. But I think when I joined the band, then I had to work harder on learning stuff and getting it right. I think I've been playing for so much longer now, it's easier for me now to do that. Even the old songs, it takes less time away from my beer drinking or, you know, whatever.
And especially when you had to re-record the Kipika, you could kind of put a little bit of your style into
but the aim was to do like a tribute that was really close to the original. So. But that was really fun to relearn the songs, because there was some of the songs that I played like for 600 or 700 shows live, and then because we started to record it, then I had to go back to the original and actually listen how was it really, you know? Because the songs, when you start to play them live, you change something, and they evolve and become totally different. So it was really interesting to go back and actually listen to what the guys were doing back then. There was a lot of fast playing, I liked it, it was fun.
Right. I would like to finish our interview with a short quiz, just a few questions about you, your style, what you like.
Yeah.
The least favorite song of South Arctica?
Talula.
Okay. Yeah. Why? If I just...
It's a beautiful song, but it's really boring to play for me,
all right.
To be honest.
A song you would have loved to compose?
Don't Say a Word, I think. I think that's the most... I think that's our best song, still. It's
very direct, very...
Yeah, direct, but it still has everything. It has the soul, it has all the elements that...
And outside to Antarctica?
Then it could be...
Let's just say one of your favorite songs.
Yeah. Maybe Highway Star from Deep Purple. Right. That would have been cool.
Imagine for the next record, you can choose any guest you want, dead or alive.
Yeah.
Who would you choose?
I think I would choose John Lord and Jimi Hendrix, because that would be really weird, and it would be really interesting to see what the hell would happen if we were in one person.
Is there a place in the world you would love to be able to play a gig there?
There are many. I mean, we never played any gig in Africa anywhere, and Iceland is something that's really been fascinating for me, and I've never been there. So. Always, wherever we have not played before, it's always exciting to go for the first play.
Yeah. Just to finish, what was the spark which lightened your will to become a professional keyboard player?
I don't remember a time when I have not played, because I was, as a toddler, my mom was a church organist, and so I grew up sitting on her lap and always seeing keyboards. But I think the definite moment was when I was hanging out with my friend. I was in my early teens, and his big brother was watching a Bon Jovi video when he's flying over Screaming Girls, and then I realized, okay, maybe this rock thing is something that I should get into.
And yourself, did you learn to play a church organ, or to be really tough? You playing your hands and feet.
Yeah,
very very complex.
I did when I was, I think I was 12 or something. I played at my aunt's wedding, and I first learned all the parts with the fingers, because then I could do like this and watch it all the time. I'm really bad at playing the organ with my feet, but I can play a church organ. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
My pleasure.